Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 330. I'm Adam Walker and joined by my good friend Mickey Mellon. Mickey, say hello.
Hello, hello. Good to be here again.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know or don't remember Mickey, Mickey's a good friend to the show, good friend of mine and Sanjay's, and a technology enthusiast in his own right. Though he is an Android guy, so he's filling that gap for Sanjay. So,
yeah, even
so,
better, yeah.
Yeah, so even better than enough. I mean, you wouldn't want two Apple guys on the same thing. Yeah, that's a terrible idea. Yeah, so. No. It's barely okay to have just one Apple guy on a technology podcast, really, if you're being honest. So,
yeah. and I'm a security adjacent individual, so I mean, kind of there.
So. I'm gonna start calling myself that, security adjacent, because I do some of the things that Sanjay would advocate for, but there are other things that I do that I don't tell him about. So don't mention that to him. Crap, he's going to listen to this, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll be proud of the first story though. So that'll be good when we get into that.
Well, let's do it. First, before we start, is there anything you want to tell our guests about yourself?
No, I mean, I've been on here before. You can find me at Mickmel for all the things, but I like to blog a lot and starting to do some video stuff at your request. So it's been,
good
filling that out. Ooh, so,
speaking of, I liked your last video about it. Good. It was really, because I read your blog and I liked the video a lot. It was great. So, let's dive in. Mickey, since you are newly on this platform, why don't you introduce our first?
The first one is Proton has acquired the encrypted note-taking app Standard Notes. So those are probably a lot of words that people may not have heard of, but Proton is a mail and other services app, not unlike Gmail. Go ahead.
Hey, Mickey, let's pause for 1 second. Let's redo that. If you don't mind, you're speaking into the mic and it's like Proton is super plosive.
Yes. All right. Yes. Let me get up a little
higher. Like, there we go. I'm like, I can't edit that out.
Yeah. All right, cool.
It was a lot. All right. So let's pause for a 5 second countdown for me to, and then jump in. You jump in.
Proton has acquired the encrypted note-taking app Standard Notes. So some of you may not be familiar with either of those apps, I guess, but Proton is an email app. It also does, files and calendar and kind of the stuff that Google Suite does. And the Standard Notes is a very simple note-taking app.
Okay.
Where this is really cool is I had switched to both of them like the day before they joined forces. So I'd switched to Proton and to Standard Notes separately, doing separate research and stuff, and they joined forces. So they're both, Sanjay would like them. I think he uses Proton. It's very security focused and very good for that.
What I want to know, is there anything that you're switching to that's on the S&P 500 that I can go invest in right now before they like merge and like something like that? That'd be great.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So Proton I know is like encrypted email. And so but are you using it with like a Proton account or do you have like your own domain or how's
that working? We'll get into this later with my tech rec as well. But
the main reason I switch
is to use my own domain for email. And we'll talk about more of that later. But you can do the Proton address or bring your own address to it, which is kind of nice.
And then on Standard Notes, like I know you're a big Obsidian fan. I've talked about Obsidian on this show. Sanjay uses Obsidian. I use Obsidian. How is Standard Notes different or better or adjacent to Obsidian?
So this is replacing Google Keep for me. This is for like my fleeting notes. I like to have a little notepad in the corner of my desktop just for jotting things down and erasing them as they come up and go. And this is just replacing that. It's not replacing my full package of notes. It's just add stuff to it, delete it out later, but it's encrypted. It's easy. It's not Google. It's good stuff.
All right, cool. All right. Next up, we're going to trash this one. Early reviewers of Humane AI Pen aren't impressed. So we've talked about this pen on the show before. It's a pen that you attach to your shirt and it projects like a screen, quote unquote, on your
laser,
hand.
Basically.
A laser, that you can use to navigate. And then it does things like you can say like, hey, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? And it'll tell you that. The problems with it, I'll just go through a few and then I'm curious about your thoughts. But problems with it, first of all, it's very expensive. I think it's like $700 for the device. Yep. Then you have to pay $25 a month for it to be on a 5G T-Mobile plan as well. Yeah,
correct.
And it does not interface with your phone at all. There are no apps for it at all. And so it just kind of does what it does and it doesn't do a lot. And it's slow and clunky and kind of hot, according to the reviewer. But did I miss anything? I mean, there's a lot more
other
to
than
it.
That, it's great. Now, he did say the hardware is good, which gives some hope for the future. But yes, all the things you said are quite accurate. And the thing, I think a few things that you said are the key. You said you can ask what the weather is, and you can. but it takes like 15 seconds to respond to anything. It's awful. And I think most of the issue is they're too forward looking, which is, I feel bad for them because they're probably going to fall out. Kind of like Google Glass was fantastic, but it was just too far in the future. People couldn't do it. This will be great. But the reason it's bad is because it's not attached to your phone. They want it to be this thing you just take with you everywhere. And it's your assistant everywhere you go, which cool future, not at all in the present. And the problems you can, I mean, you sort of alluded to some, but like it has its own cell plan. So if you text someone from it, it's coming from a different number.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so it doesn't go with your other text, and texting from it is a disaster anyhow. But it doesn't know anything about you. It doesn't have your contacts, doesn't have your calendar, doesn't have your email. Like how is it your assistant if it doesn't know anything about you?
Right.
The battery stuff is very innovative. It has some cool stuff you can do with the battery, which is great because you have to change it every 2 to 4 hours because you're wearing this thing all day. Like, so
well, it's just, also, the reviewer that I watched, he also mentioned that like, as he's wearing it on his shirt, it's like kind of warm.
Well, yeah, because it's doing the inductive charging all the time.
Which is sort of mildly terrible. Like it sort of has this like, oh, I'm going to get cancer in my heart sort of feeling, you know, like that feels scary to me.
Yeah, so some of it can get fixed. They'll improve battery life. The speed will improve. Like, you can't even set a timer right now. Like, you would think, say, hey, thing, set a timer. I can't even do that. Like, it's just, it's a lot of that will get fixed soon. But some of it's just, it won't get fixed. I think if it was tethered to your phone, it would be 10 times better.
Yeah.
But that's not their future. That's not their vision for it. So if they can survive, maybe their vision will come true. But
well, I mean, the other thing that I thought was interesting is the same thing. So it's an Apple designer that created this. And Apple has done the same thing. I think it's a problem with the Apple Vision Pro, which is that they use all these materials that are heavy. And well, so too, when you put it on your shirt, it sort of like weighs down your, if you're wearing a t-shirt, it's going to look a little funky and like, nobody's going to want to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge problem for adoption. I mean, Apple Vision Pro, it's a little too heavy. Instead of use plastic, it would have been way less heavy. I mean, I get it. They want the aesthetic design, but come on, it's got to be functional.
Well, Apple Vision Pro did it so it could be premium. They're going to bring out the consumer one that's plastic and is $1,000 less. But
that's fair.
The other problem here that Vision Pro also has is that it's not connected to your phone. Like Vision Pro doesn't connect to your phone either. The difference is it connects to your Apple account. So it still knows who you are and can do all the stuff, you know.
So
not being connected to your phone is not necessarily a problem if it can get that info elsewhere. But the human AI pin can't. So it has no idea what you're doing, where you're supposed to be. But it's supposed to be your assistant and it just can't even do that.
That's not great.
Yeah. Right.
What's next?
Meta will auto blur nudity in Instagram DMs in latest teen safety step.
Awesome. So, this is one of those articles that like I tagged because I think it's important, but my only real response is thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good use of AI though, because I mean, we saw you guys talked about the Taylor Swift stuff, which is the opposite side of that, but we know that AI is good with nudity as it were. Yeah, and so for years, detecting this stuff has been really hard. Like, you can't tell if someone's wearing a bikini or if it's a close-up of a shoulder, like it's all just skin. Yeah. But now AI can do that really well. So this should be a fantastic use where it can really tell exactly what's going on and hopefully blur things appropriately and a good use of AI. So, yeah.
All right. So, so a funny aside here, you mentioned if someone's wearing a bikini. So I followed this creator on TikTok. And he pulled up this stock image and was making fun of it. And it was a wife sitting in a swimsuit in a bathtub talking to her husband that's sitting next to her while a book is in his hand and leaning. It was like this very strange. And then he's like, he made the point. He goes, you know, I went looking for the stock image and I found out there's a lot of women wearing swimsuits in bathtubs in stock photography. It's just
interesting.
Very, very odd. So, I mean, that's not technology related per se, but it is entertaining. So
for sure. What do we got next?
Substack now allows podcasters to sync and distribute their episodes to Spotify, which I foolishly did not realize that it wasn't already connected. I would have just assumed it was, or maybe there's
sort of was.
It did like RSS feed.
It did RSS, like normal podcast. So I saw a comment that summed this up perfectly. This comment was fantastic. It said, nice of them to solve a solved problem, but with more layers of proprietary integrations and account linking on that not so purpose just so happens to push people into the further depths of middleman corporations controlling access to content. Like it is. I mean, podcasts are RSS feeds. Just push the feed out and anyone can subscribe. This is not a hard thing. And Spotify is doing their very best to make it proprietary and difficult.
And I'll tell you, listen, listeners, if you got our podcast late last week, it's because we had some issues with Spotify and the podcast hosting. So we might be looking around for some other options there in the near future. So we'll see. All right, Mickey, you're up.
Next up, Ubisoft is deleting The Crew from players' libraries, reminding us we own nothing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting, though. So it was, you talked about Sarah Bond last week from Microsoft trying to save old games and stuff. I'm like, hey, she's failing already here. It's saving old games. Like, where is she? Come on, Bond.
Right, right.
But when you dig into this, this isn't as bad as it sounds. Like, if you do have the crew installed, they're going to remove it, which is bad. But the crew, the first one, is kind of like Fortnite. Like, if they take the servers away,
it's gone anyway.
You have the game, but the game doesn't work. So, I mean, it's not really a big deal. They're shutting down the servers for it, and now they're taking away the game. Like, take the game. I can't open it. I can't do anything with it. So it's not as bad as it sounds.
They offered to refund money, too, for people that recently bought it and bought into the game. And it wasn't very many because it's a 10-year-old game.
Right. Yeah. They have the Crew 2 and other ones since then. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of like it's interesting. But I mean, to your point, though, like in the modern era of gaming, we really don't own the games that we play anymore.
Right. No,
we pay for access to them. And we probably should understand that. Speaking of games that I will not probably play, College Football 25, EA's biggest success or EA's biggest disaster? Yes. So I don't know. I mean, I read the article and basically said, look, like EA puts out football games and they're pretty much always rehashes of old football games they've had with like a few new features and people give them a hard time about it. So this is either going to be that and it's going to tank, or it's going to be something like really innovative and new and different and exciting, because this is the first football game they put out in quite some time, right?
The first college football game they put out in like 15 years. So
That's right.
So it'll be interesting here. So a couple thoughts on this. One that's interesting is the reason they're bringing it back now, they got rid of it because the whole like should players make money and all that, and the legality got too tricky back in the teens, and so they stopped making it. Now they're just paying players. So they paid 10,000 players $600 each. That's $6 million they've given to players to get their likenesses in the game. They've gotten most of the players in. There's a few notable exceptions, but most are in. So that's kind of cool. And then for me personally, after the sad demise of Google Stadia, I finally bought a PS5. And a big reason is because this is only coming to PS5 and whatever the newest Xbox is. It's not coming to PS4, the older ones there.
Yeah.
And I really want this. I've been a college football fan. But really, this is in here because you and Sanjay will be talking about this in July, when this either comes out and sells millions of copies or just explodes. Because the problem is, they say it's coming in July. There's different dates set for it.
Yeah.
There's not been a video, a screenshot. Like, they're not showing, there's nothing that they've shown yet. And it's this close. Like, I don't know they got it. Like, I think it's going to be a mess. But
so this might be another one of those. What was the Cyberpunk? What was that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Cyberpunk. That kind of was a disaster. Yeah.
Oh, total disaster. Yeah.
So well, I think it's going to be that way. But
if
we'll
you
see.
Get it, if it's good and you get it, I might try it out, because I do like college football.
I will get it. I'm telling you that if it comes out, I will get it. We'll see if it's any good or not. But yeah.
All right. That's fair.
All right. Next up. Elon claims traffic's Twitter is at an all-time high because he can't be bothered to understand the misleading data people show him. So this is fantastic, yes.
Yeah, so basically, like, the article's like, look, if you basically show Elon a graph that confirms what he already believes, then he's going to retweet that thing, and man, it's going to be all good. Even though there's like no possible... So the graph that's in question shows this basically that Twitter essentially doubled in like a day or two in 2003, which I think halved might be correct. Sorry, 23 is what I meant. Which halved might be more correct, right?
Right. But it took a while for people to figure out where he got this picture from, because this was just his little graph. It looked like he made it up. It actually came from Semrush, the SEO marketing company, but because they said, we changed the way we handle algorithms. It wasn't data to the site. It was data like to other websites from other websites. And we changed our algorithm. All the sites we monitor showed a doubling that day because just we track things differently. It doesn't mean they actually doubled, but he said, hey, it looks good, so we're going with it. So even though we all know that they're fading into oblivion.
Well, which kind of like brings back, and you know this from a marketing perspective. Like, I was talking to a potential client today that I might do some marketing consulting work for. And I was basically like, look, you know, like every vendor is going to give you stats and numbers. The role that I'd need to play is the person that looks at their stats and then goes and looks at the actual dashboard and verifies that they gave you, they didn't cherry pick the numbers, right? That's the thing. And like stats are just, they're very misleading. But I think we all realize that Twitter is tanking, or X or whatever.
It's whatever. Called. Yeah. Well, Simon Sinek talks about that a lot with numbers. He said, whoever shows the numbers can make them say whatever they want. Like his thing was with airlines. Every airline is the number one airline, and they're all correct because I'm the number one airline for flights across the Western United States on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Like,
that's right.
You're right. But that's in tiny print at the bottom. And so, yeah, that's anyone can make numbers say anything. But in this case, he just kind of mostly made it up. So
tell you what. All right. Last up for Weird and Wacky, Google's next foldable may be the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. I guess my question to you, Mickey, is, are you going to get it?
I am. And I like the name. The name, it was going to be the Pixel Fold 2, and it sounds like it's now going to be, if you put Google in, the Google Pixel 9 Fold Pro or Pro Fold, which sounds ridiculous, but I kind of like it because, well, for one, last time the Fold came out, it was a mid-year phone, kind of between the 7 and 8, so I had the older processor. Okay. This means it'll be one of the Pixel 9s, probably have the Pixel 9, the Pixel 9 Pro, and the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. It'll be in that line, so it'll have the newer stuff.
Okay.
And so if it's going to be a Pixel 9 Pro Fold, that means the Pro would tell me it'll have the better chip and the better cameras and stuff, would be in that upper echelon of the Pro and size and stuff. And this is the Fold. So, I mean, it is a long name, but it makes me excited for the phone.
All right. So you have a Fold phone now, right?
Correct. The first one, the only Google Pixel Fold.
Okay. Yes. So I mean, I'm always I feel wary having seen all the stuff on the early folds and the screen's not loud.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Is it holding up? Is it doing well? Is it showing wear? Like, give me the,
so
give
far
me the
it's, so two things. One, it's the first phone I've bought their protection plan for. I've never bought Google's protection plan, but I wanted that just in case because of all that stuff. Yeah, but far it's perfect. There's not a flaw. So it's been fantastic. But
really? Yeah. Okay.
So you see the bad stuff, but it's got the crease. And
do you use it folded in half more or do you use it open more?
Folded in half more.
Okay.
I mean, anything most, because you pull it out of your pocket, you check your email, whatever. When I sit down somewhere, I want to look at pictures, I want to look at my calendar. Like it's awesome when I'm like just waiting for dance class or whatever, get over, like I can just sit there and open it up and get a lot more done. Cause you get two columns of your email to sort stuff through and a wider calendar. And it's pretty cool. So,
all right.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Cool.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
First up in Weird and Wacky, and I apologize, it's not specifically tech related, but man, I couldn't resist. So Costco now sells up to $200 million a month in gold and silver. So they came out with gold. I think this is last year, and you could buy 1 ounce of gold at Costco. Then it was so wildly successful, selling out constantly. Now they added silver coins to that, which I did not know. My question to you, Mickey, is number one, are you a Costco member? And number two, have you bought any gold?
So no to both. I mean, I love Costco. I think we're with Sam's right now. Costco's better, but yeah, there's that. But I did read about it. I'm like, why is this happening? It's because like anything else at Costco, they're making very little profit. I mean, Costco.
Almost none.
Yeah. Famously, I think they're making 2% profit on this, which is kind of Costco's MO. I read a thing once saying they have no like doorbusters, like lost products to bring you in, like everything they make profit on, and they make very little profit on everything to make everything just a good, solid deal. And this is another example of that. So kudos to them.
Yeah. What I read about them is that they make virtually nothing on the goods. They make money off the memberships. Now I'm sure they've got to make something off the goods to keep things open, but still. It's fascinating. Like, I mean, whoever's idea it was, but like, you know, for Costco,
he had
like,
to fight for it too.
Yeah. Like we sell bagels and we sell almond milk. You know, we should sell bars of gold. That's a great idea. Like that's it. Whoever thought of that, you are a brilliant individual and I like you very much. So there you go.
So next up, Trump media shares plunged more than 14% after the company says Truth Social to launch TV streaming. So, and that was my response. Like, how do you say you're going to launch TV streaming and then your shares plummet? Like, that was fantastic. So,
my favorite was, listen, this isn't a political podcast, but man, this is so good. Biden trolling Trump, saying that if things kept going that way, Biden's tax plan would be more beneficial to him than Trump's tax plan.
Nice.
I was dying. Oh yeah. I mean, like this has been a disaster. It was a disaster when it rolled out. It had a disastrous launch. It had a disastrous IPO. I think it's down 67% for the year. Like everything about it screams failure. And then you announce a new service. And
you think that would help if, or at least not.
Yeah.
Causes it to plummet further, but yeah
it's gonna, I guess, fail. Not. That's gonna fail. So yeah, that's man, that's pretty bad. All right. Last up in Weird and Wacky, police arrested 4 people over $300,000 of stolen Lego kits. Again, not tech related per se, but man, that's kind of, we had to talk about it.
So I have a few thoughts on this, but I'm not sure how to present them. So think back to The Office when Michael was giving the toast at Phyllis's wedding. You know, he kept saying his opening line over and over again. He said the most important part of a speech is the opening line. So in times when I'm a factor, I like to try 3 or 4 different ones. So let's try that here. So read me that headline again here.
Okay. All right, I like this. All right. So here's the headline. Police arrested 4 people over $300,000 of stolen Lego kits.
$300,000. So like 4 Lego kits?
All right, you got another one? You got another one?
Yep.
Keep going. Police arrested 4 people over $300,000 of stolen Lego kits.
That deserves some jail time. Block him up.
Oh my God, that's so bad. Oh,
these are awful. Yeah. So bad. I got two more. Come on. Block bring it.
All right. Police arrested four people over $300,000 of stolen Lego kits.
My children were not involved, I swear.
That was less funny, but it's good.
All right,
less funny.
All right, well, last one.
Police arrested four people over $300,000 of stolen Lego kits.
The detectives really built that case, brick by brick. So there you go. So I didn't make any of those up. I found them all different places. I'm like, these are great.
Good.
As I was reading the story.
I was going to ask you if AI did it, but AI is not that funny.
It was, well, it might have been, but it was mostly Reddit people.
So the story on this is apparently like there was a ring and they're just going around like Targets and Walmarts and like stealing Lego kits and then fencing them to what seem like real outlets. And then they're selling them there.
Yeah, it's crazy. $300,000. I mean, it is a lot. I mean,
that'll get you like six or seven Lego kits.
Right. Well, so, I said four, but yeah, you're getting a little more generous.
They are so expensive. It's shocking.
But realistically, they're a couple hundred bucks. I mean, you're talking thousands and thousands of kits stolen. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck.
All right, Mickey, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us today?
So I have Proton, like we talked about before. I mean, Proton is awesome. It's super secure and really well run. Sanjay, I think, appreciates that side of it. Okay. That doesn't matter as much to me, frankly. I mean, it's great. I'm not against security.
Sanjay, he didn't say that. Yeah. He didn't mean it.
I'm security adjacent, but not security opposed. But what I really liked about it is I want a personal domain for my email instead of Gmail in case it ever goes away. It's not going to disappear, but I think more likely, and you guys have covered this before with a few stories, people get banned by mistake. I mean, something could happen and ban my account and I'm toast. It was actually a conversation with Sanjay that explained this to me. He kind of laid it out that email is two different things. There's the messages you have, which are important. I have thousands of messages to save, but the address you use is probably more important. So I can get into accounts. And I'm like, all right, cool. Why don't I just start using a new address? I'll still have my Gmail for all the messages and slowly accumulate new ones. But if I start using this new address elsewhere and then something happens to Proton or they ban me or whatever, I can move elsewhere. I'm not dead in the water. So it's fantastic. And it's a great service. It's like you have to pay, I think, $3 a month maybe if you want to use a custom domain with it. And so I set up a new email on that. And
So I like that. A couple things, though. I looked at Proton a while back and my issue was I use Google Calendar and Proton does not in any way integrate with Google Calendar. So are you going to not have a calendar with this new email?
Correct.
So the hard part about that, too, then, is that then if you're emailing with somebody and you're like, hey, let's meet, then you have to be like, oh, but invite this other email.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that angle. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Or they'll send, I've had this happen before because I actually have the same problem. I use a 365 email address with my email at my own domain. And I don't have a calendar associated because that's a pain in the butt because they use Google Calendar. And so what I've done is like they've sent a calendar invite to that email and then I have to like manually create it on my Google Calendar.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Which is also a pain in the butt. So I'm like,
that's fair. I'm not too concerned for two reasons. One, I create most of the events and send them to other people, but also the ones that people send are usually to my work address, which is a separate account already
anyhow.
So I think it'll be rare, but I hadn't considered that. That's an interesting angle. So
Okay.
Yeah, but Proton's nice too. When I set it up, I said, hey, do you want us to just start grabbing all your Gmail that comes in going forward and put it in here? I'm like, sure. And so it just, I mean, you can set it manually, if you email me Gmail, it comes into Proton. I didn't load all the old ones. You can, but I've got hundreds of thousands. It would have just been a disaster. So I'm like, but send me the new one. So now I don't even log into my Gmail unless I need to find an old message, which still happens. But it's been good so far. So yeah.
Okay. That's great.
What do you got?
So I'm going to recommend the app CapCut. So if you need to edit some videos, CapCut is a free, easy tool to do that. It involves, like, you can use it to create captions for it as well. You can do easy email editing, not email, video editing. You can do like intros and outros. It's got some effects you can use. There's a free version to kind of get you started. And then, of course, there's a pro version. I think it's like $160 for the year, something like that. It's not too bad. But it's a good little program. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on your computer. You can use it on the web. So it's a good little program. Like one of my kids used it for a school project and built out this very long video with it, with the free version for a school project. One of my other kids used the premium version to create some social content for me. So it's been a really interesting and good tool so far.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
Give it a shot.
Very cool.
All right, Sanjay. Oh my gosh, Habit. Woo!
Man.
You're not Sanjay.
I'm not.
No, you're not. You're security adjacent. That was a big mistake. Ooh, oh my gosh. All right, Mickey, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
I am Mikmel, M-I-C-K-M-E-L, Mikmel.com, Mikmel on LinkedIn, still on X a little bit, Threads, and whatever
quick,
you want.
Yeah. A quick plug for Mikmel.com, by the way. Mickey blogs every single day, and it's usually about like something he read in a book that he finds interesting. Like I'd say that's 80% of your blog
most
post or something.
Of it, yeah, for sure.
And you're how many days in a row you blogged now?
I don't know, 1,200 maybe. So yeah, coming up on 4 years.
1,200 days in a row. And it's really good content.
Appreciate
so
that.
I would recommend go to Mikmel.com, subscribe. It's very good content. I get tons of like book recommendations from it and like different people to follow and all kinds of stuff. So
cool. Thank you.
All right, cool.
How about you?
You can find me on my website, adamjwalker.com. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you already knew that. So go
and
find me
there.
You
just posted a blog entry. It was fantastic too. It was a great one.
I'll say too, I've gotten more response from that blog post than any single blog post probably in the last 10 years. Like it's wild. And it's all people like, yes, 100%, 1,000%. It's like that kind of response.
Yeah, that works.
So it's not like long comments, but like it's been interesting to see the response to that. I think people
want to say what it is, or you want people to be peeked up now and want to go check it out for themselves. I think you got to go check it out. Yeah.
Go to Andrew Walker and check it out.
That's great. That's great. Awesome.
Thanks for being on the show, Mickey. Appreciate
for
you.
For sure. Always.